The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 23, The Prophet Sees the Light. I took a deep breath and let loose the longest, moaningest, help me pitiful meow of my death, and I meant every syllable. Surely there was one person out there who would protest the brutal murder of a more or less innocent kitty cat. The pressure stopped increasing, but didn't go away. Bobson laughed, then called out, "That creature is praying to Satan. A lot of good that will do." Chuckles and titters from the congregation, along with a couple of amens. Ernie shouted, "Stop!" Ginger Grant said, "You idiot!" Bobson took his foot off my head and peered into the church. "What have we here? More supplicants at the altar of eternal life?" "No," Ernie said. "We have videotape of you kidnapping two women and your cruelty to animals." Bobson laughed. "Hold the cat. I'll come back to it." Goon 2 stood and held me tightly, one big hand gripping my hind legs and the other my front legs. All heads were turned in Ernie's direction. He stood in the aisle, and Ginger Grant scowled up at him from her pew. Bobson called out, "The doors!" At the back of the church, two white-clad acolytes stepped forward and closed the doors. The boom echoed through the sanctuary. I did not like the final sound of it. "Brothers and sisters," cried the prophet, "tonight the Lord has sent us riches. Three to feed our holy needs. Three to join the church of eternal righteous life." Ginger Grant stood, lifted her chin, straightened her back, and looked down at Bobson as if she were the vampire queen. "We are accredited members of the press doing our public duty." Duty was another word that seemed odd coming from a TV reporter. She whispered to Ernie, "Pick up your gear and let's get out of here." Ernie hung his camera by a strap from one shoulder and picked up the lights from the floor. But he stepped forward, not back. "Let the cat and these people go." "Oh," said the prophet with a smile. "I don't think so." I was learning that when Reverend Bobson smiled, he was at his most dangerous. Ernie lifted his camera. "I've got you assaulting the woman you have strapped to the table." "Assault? You consider the administration of a holy sacrament to be assault?" The smile broadened, and the prophet extended his arms, turned his palms up, and raised them as he said, "Brothers and sisters, we need to help these sinners see the light of my truth." The congregation stood and faced Ernie and Grant. She said to Ernie, "Maybe you shouldn't have said that. They might take it as a threat." The prophet Bobson gestured with his left hand. "Bring them to me." The left side of the congregation, at least 150 righteous vampires, hadn't taken more than one step toward the intrepid cameraman and his weasel companion before the TV lights in Ernie's hand flared. The lights weren't aimed at me, but the extreme pain still hit my eyes. That side of the congregation screamed and fell back like wheat before a cyclone. They scrambled over each other and crawled under pews to get away from the light. Bobson shielded his eyes with his arm, but he didn't yield. He lifted his right fist and roared, "Get them!" Though my eyes were tearing by then, I could see the right side of the congregation surge toward the aisle. They howled with fury. Ernie swung the lights, and like a roundhouse swing from a heavyweight boxer, took out that side, too. When the glare passed over Bobson, the Rev screamed and dropped to the floor. So did the rest of us in the chancel. Goon 2 dropped behind me and hit the deck, and I managed to scramble around him and shield myself from the worst of the light. Meg, who had experience with this, covered her eyes and curled up on the floor behind Al's bulky body. Still, she screamed. Ernie yelled, "Meg, untie the woman and get them out." Grant said, "Behind you." Pain of the light vanished, and I peeked over Goon 2. Ernie swung the lights around to nail the two doorkeepers rushing them from behind, who dove into pews to escape the light. Ernie yelled again, "Untie her." Grant said, "I'm out of here." I peeked above Goon 2. He still had his head buried in his arms. Ernie held the lights aimed at the floor, and, while it was uncomfortable to look in that direction, the pain was bearable. The congregation was in various stages of recovery. A bunch huddled on the floor like Goon 2, some struggled back into the pews, and a few sturdy souls stood. The prophet roused and then stood. I took a breath and warned Ernie with a meow. Ernie called, "Patch, we're coming." The prophet thundered, "Rise, rise and face down the hellfire of this spawn of Satan. Do my holy will. Take them." More righteous vampires stood and moved toward Ernie and Grant from both sides. Ernie swung the lights up, and I ducked behind my shelter and shut my eyes. I knew when the light came because Bobson screamed and crawled around behind my goon to get out of the light. Ernie said, "I'll hold them back while you untie the woman." Grant said, "Nope, I'm gone." "I'll tape you rescuing innocents from hundreds of rabid vampires. Think of the ratings." Silence. And then footsteps running my way up the carpeted aisle. The lights shut down and I opened my eyes. Grant took the gag off of Meg's mom, unstrapped her, and helped her off the table. Mom slipped her hands under Meg's arms and helped her get to her feet. Meg seemed weak and shaky, and I knew how she felt. Meg's mom held her down the aisle toward Ernie. Grant stopped above me and looked down. Prophet Bobson moaned, put his hands on the floor, and started to push himself up. I stood and tried to climb over my goon's body, but the light had sapped my strength. I slid back to the floor. Ernie shouted, "The cat!" I looked up at Grant. She scowled. "I'm taping this. You'll be number one with cat lovers." She sighed and picked me up. Holding me in a surprisingly proper way, she put a foot in the middle of Bobson's back, pushing Bobson onto his face when she put her weight on him, and headed for Ernie. By the time we reached Ernie, Bobson was yelling, "Kill them! Kill them!" Apparently he'd lost interest in saving sinners. "Stake them! Rend them! Burn them!" All but a few members of the congregation got to their feet, faces blistered, teeth bared, hands like claws. They advanced on Ernie. Ernie raised the lights. "The door! Fast!" Meg and her mom hustled up the aisle, Grant behind them, carrying me. Even though it faced away from me, I felt the light when it went on, and the congregation screamed again. The two door guards now stood at the door, blocking our way. Grant called out, "Ernie, the door!" From the side of my eye, I saw the light swinging around, traveling along the side of the church to take out the interference. Then the lights dimmed. They went out. Ernie said, "Battery's gone." Behind us, the congregation screeched its bloodlust. From outside, a bugle sounded, "Charge!" The good old cavalry kind you hear in a John Wayne movie. The congregation silenced. The bugle sounded again, and then the doors to the church slammed open. A stream of people, led by Meg's dad and Vera from the AVA, surged through the doors. Vera carried the bugle, and she raised it to her lips to deliver another charge. It hurt my ears, but I wasn't about to object. The two parishioners who'd been guarding the doors fled past us and joined the congregation. Meg's dad rushed to her mom and took her in his arms. Meg sagged, but Vera arrived and steadied her. Vera wore a bandolier of bullets diagonally across her chest and a big cowboy pistol in a holster on her hip. Maybe 30 vampires came behind them and spread in a line across the church. The silence was enormous. Meg's mom, her voice muffled because her face pressed into her husband's chest, said, "I'll never join anything again." Dad said, "Well, I signed you up for the AVA. She lifted her head. "The AVA? American Vampire Association. I thought you might be one by the time we got here." Ernie tapped Vera's bugle. "Nice touch." She smiled in an embarrassed way. "I'm a big fan of the Duke's westerns, and I always wanted to do this. Behold!" Oh, no, the prophet was back. Bobson spread his arms wide. "Behold the perversion of the Lord's gift of eternal life." Eternal disease was more like it, but there was no telling the good prophet Bobson. He clenched his fists. "We shall crush the abominations." Ah, I was back to being an abomination. I have to tell you, I thought this was the dog calling the fence pole stupid. Meg straightened, came to Grant, and took me from her. Holding me tight, Meg faced Bobson. Ernie backed into a pew and raised his camera to his shoulder. A little red light started blinking on the front. Then he aimed it our way. Bobson strode toward us. His flock followed, filling the aisle behind him. He raised a hand and pointed a finger. "I feel the holy hunger." The congregation called, "Amen." Come to think of it, I was feeling a little belly burn myself. "You shall not deprive the saved of the sacrament of blood." "Hallelujah," shouted the saved. Meg called out, "You're the abomination, Bobson." "Boo," went his followers. Bobson smiled. Meg said, "You say you're saving people, but you're nothing more than a terrible new typhoid Mary, spreading a horrible disease. You're not giving eternal life. You're robbing people of good life." From the side came Ginger Grant's voice, doing the At the Golf Match murmur. KTBC brings you exclusive footage of what could be a bloody confrontation, considering that we're looking at a bunch of wacky vampires. Bobson's slow march up the aisle continued, and his soft voice dripped menace. "Blasphemy." His voice rose. His brows dove into a scowl. "You question the word of God?" He raised his arms high. "He has spoken to me." Meg widened her stance like a fighter about to go into battle. "Well, I'm talking to you now." She stroked my head. More. But she kept talking, and the burn in my belly was growing. "You people who follow this wingnut, doesn't it bother you that you've lost your lives?" Bobson boomed. "Nonsense. They've gained eternal life." Meg shook her head. "We are the undead, not alive. We have lost the sun. We have lost our freedom. We are prisoners of death and bloodlust." Someone in the AVA crowd behind us muttered, "Amen." I squirmed. I could have done with a little blood right then. Make that a lot of blood. A murmur bubbled up from the congregation. People exchanged glances. A number of them rubbed their stomachs. Mobson turned to face his people. "We have gained the night, the holy hours when the blessed of the blood shall rule." He took three strides toward the congregation. Those in front pressed back. He roared, "Deny me and you will be damned." He spun and pointed at me and Meg. "Strike down the blasphemers." He started for us, and his followers followed. Vera shouted, "Ready!" From behind came rustling sounds. I turned in Meg's arms and got my front paws on her shoulder and peered back. The AVA members were taking something from their pockets. Vera cried, "Aim!" The AVAVs ready to throw the stuff in their hands, their faces grim. I caught a faint whiff of blood. Vera yelled, "Blood!" They threw, and handfuls of blood-red rings rained upon the congregation. Death savers! The mob broke into hungry pieces, catching death savers out of the air, dropping to all fours to scrabble for them on the floor. Bobson shouted, "No! Do not contaminate your holy state with animal blood!" What did he think people were? Fish? Death saber still flew through the air, and I leaped to the floor. A death saber hit in front of me and rolled toward me. I pounced. Pounce is a great word. It's so cat. We execute the maneuver better than anyone, except maybe a woman who's just caught her man cheating. I caught the little ring of blood with my front paws, flipped under my back while tossing the death saber up, and caught it in my mouth. Ernie said, "Cool." He had the camera aimed my way. He winked with his available eye and then swung it to take in the congregation. Meanwhile, the death saver dissolved and the pleasure began. I got to my feet and scarfed up two more, and then sat to enjoy the rush and the scene. Goon One, whose gonads had experienced a couple of taps from Meg's foot, popped a handful of death sabers into his mouth and swallowed. He smiled. Then he frowned. Then he gripped his privates, howled, and fell to the floor. Ha ha! Bobson dashed from one follower to another, pounding a one and slapping another. "No! No!" But the congregation pretty much ignored him and settled into pews, no doubt enjoying the blood rush the same as I was. He came to Al, the God Squad leader. "Attack!" Al gave him a sleepy smile and shook his head. Bobson plunged his hand into Al's robe and took out a 2-foot sharpened wooden stake. He turned to face up the aisle, and he focused on Meg.
"This is your fault."
He charged up the aisle, the stake held out in front of him like a lance.
The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead.
Please don't hurt me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.